Pastor Kevin and Pastor Zach are in Florida. We just finished up a conference for Open Bible Standard Churches, and it was really kind of a cool thing. They asked Pastor Kevin and me to be on a panel talking about how to transition from one pastor to another. And they stayed in Florida, and they're allowing me the privilege to share this morning. And as you know, we've been in a series, what has it been, 2 months? We've talked about having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and the last one was faithfulness. And then today, I thought, okay, Pastor Kevin said, and the word that I want you to preach on is gentleness. Thanks. And I'm like, oh no. I said, never in my life have I been called gentle. You don't have to raise your hand, but this is one, we need God's Spirit in our life. And gentleness is one of those. I was tested even on the way to church from the guy who I was just trying to merge over, and he decided to speed up very quickly. And I thought, oh, Lord. And then I pulled right in front of him. It was a great morning. And but now I didn't hurry. I was gentle. And then he waved at me or something. It was weird. But when you think about gentleness, like I think about when I was a kid and I saw that movie Bambi, or like when I got a gerbil and they're like, don't be gentle, or like Pooh Bear or a lost kitten. And I think, man, that is... It's a little awkward on Sunday, and it could be kind of an awkward thing if you bring it up on Monday. Hey, let's, you know, go to work today. Let's talk about being gentle. And at first glance, it's a little strange. However, even to my surprise, the more I've studied this word, the more I've understood this word, the more I realize there is power in gentleness. It's radical, and it actually gets people's attention. One author writes it like this: in our rough and rugged individualism, we think of gentleness as weakness, being soft, virtually spineless. Not so. Gentleness includes qualities like this: strength under control, being calm in the midst of crisis, possessing tactfulness in tough times. Instead of losing, gentleness actually gains most of the time. And we're probably aware that the Bible, as it was written, wasn't written in English. The Old Testament was Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament was Greek. And when there were words that were written, they wanted these words to be precise, and they wanted these words to be descriptive. And so the word gentleness, which was written in its original language, it was precise, it was expressive, and the definition of gentleness, as you'll find it in Galatians chapter 5, is this: power under control. It's pretty simple, power under control. And let me show you a photo. This is where Sharon and I were in April. We went to the Hoover Dam. And it was really cool, and it backs up the waters from Lake Mead, which at full capacity is the largest reservoir in the United States. Now, obviously, we've had a little bit of drought, and even during the drought times, try to wrap your mind around this. It holds about 3.5 trillion gallons of water. That's a huge amount of power that's under control. Now, just for a moment, what if Hoover Dam collapsed? I mean, there would be a wall of water, 3 trillion plus gallons raging. Tens of thousands of people would die. It would be deadly in so many ways. The power grid, are there 1.3 million people in Nevada, California, Arizona who depend on that? All sorts of crops would be wiped out. Drinking water would be wiped out. About 25 million people depend on the water of Lake Mead. When you consider strength under control, it's one thing to talk about water being held back. It's another thing to talk about you and me. It's another thing to ask ourselves, and this is one of the latter fruits of the Spirit, but how is it in your daily life that gentleness fits in? I'm not talking about being weak. I'm not talking about being spineless. I'm talking about having the strength of your anger, the strength of what you say, the strength of what you think under control. And gentleness, just because we're talking about it, is not incompatible with decisive action and firm convictions. It's not about what we believe, it's how we live according to our beliefs. And I love reading the Bella Vista page. Oh my goodness, people are so rotten. I mean, someone could say, oh, I'm having a great day. Oh, it's only because you're rich. Oh, it's because you ate a meatloaf from Harps or and I'm like, you people are so spinelessly mean. I don't put that. Maybe a few years after I'm no longer pastoring, I might, but not now. And some of you, by the way you drive, you should not have a Hope Church sticker on the back of your car. You're like, wow, Jim, you haven't preached for a while, and did you just say that? I'm just trying to help you to be biblical. But isn't it true? This is one of those ones that I know in my life, God, I need gentleness in my life. Especially in a world now that just seems so antagonized and so aggressive. And why is it? Here's the reason why. Philippians 4 says this, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Remember, how we live matters more than what we say. And gentleness is one of those fruits that is a reminder to you and me, it's so important because the Lord's coming is near, and we don't want to be the one that causes somebody else to not want to serve the Lord because of our actions. You know, God himself is such a great example of this. Remember Elijah, the great prophet of God, in 1 Kings 19? He defeats the 450 prophets of Baal, and things are good except for this one little problem called Jezebel. She's chasing him, and for some reason, Elijah's just like, okay, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And you know, he's in the wilderness running around, and God's like, what are you doing? He's like, I just can't take it anymore. And God speaks to him and says, I want you to go to a cave on this mountain, and I want you to wait for me. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Elijah and I just, you know, I'm running from one person and God just did this big miracle and it's like crazy, I'm thinking, okay, this is like that, wait till your dad gets home or you're in big trouble. God says, you know what, you go stand in the cave, and I'm going to be there. And the beauty of God is that he wasn't disappointed in Elijah. Elijah was stressed, and he's probably thinking that God's just going to lay into him. And this is what happens in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah's there, and the Lord passes by, and a mighty windstorm hits the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Elijah, I'd be thinking, well, if that's not It's worse than I think. You're like, God, is it you? All of a sudden, the wind's blowing so hard that rocks are, you're like, oh, this is really bad. After the winds was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And some of you who've read this before, you've already gone ahead of me and you know exactly what it's going to say. But could you pause and just pretend like you're hearing this for the very first time? After the fire was the sound of a gentle whisper. And that is where God was. Elijah, and come on, you and me at times, we don't always get it right. We don't always do what we ought to do. And sometimes you feel like, man, I just kind of want to hide from God because I know he's disappointed in me. I know he's mad and, you know, and all of a sudden, God didn't come with a judgment. He came with open arms. And he does the same for you and me. When we don't get it right, and I've said this many times, I don't think God is disappointed in us. I think there's times he's disappointed for us. There's times when we don't trust, there's times when we don't obey, there's times when we miss blessings that he has for us because of our humanness. But he hasn't given up on you, and he hasn't given up on me. Waits for us with open arms, and I'm telling you, if you get a handle on this, there is a great power in God's gentleness for your life. I have to believe that Elijah was shocked at God's response, but also thankful. In Ephesians chapter 4, and this is really right after such a beautiful, was it Genesis? Did I miss it? Do you see how gentle I was there? Thank you, Lord. Now put that away. Just kidding. But, you know, in the last part of Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about, may we know his goodness and the power that works within us that can do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything that we can ask or imagine according to riches that are found in Christ Jesus. But then chapter 4 ties it all together and he says, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Gentleness is a big one. And I'm thankful that Pastor Kevin gave me this. He said, you know, you can choose another one. And I'm like, you mean like one you've already preached on? But really, as much as for anybody here or hope at home, this is a reminder to me that God is still working in my life. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's faults. Why? Because of your love for God. Let me say it this way. Gentle people are proactive more than they are reactive. A proactive person is someone who is responsible or response-able. They go through the same situations that everybody else does, but they choose how they respond, right? They choose how they respond. A reactive person is somebody who is controlled by situations and controlled by other people. They react. They don't pause for a moment and be proactive. And that's something where God can help us. Reactive people are driven by feelings and circumstances and the conditions in their environment. One of the things that I want to do as I get older I've noticed that sometimes older people are grumpy. Exactly. And I don't want to be a grumpy older person. And you become a non-grumpy older person if you have an attitude of gratitude, if you are thankful. And this is a big deal because gentleness is powerful. You know, something recently happened in my life that speaks a lot to this. When I was a teenager, about 12 years old, my dad came back from the war in Vietnam. And it went really hard for our family. Whatever happened there basically shipwrecked my dad. And so I've always had a problem with Vietnam and the Vietnam War just because of knowing our family was affected terribly from that. In April, I went to Vietnam, and I had these weird feelings of, I don't know that much about Vietnam. I just know the effect of it on my family. I had some hesitation, but I thought, well, it's going to be okay. We end up on the Saigon River. We were on a riverboat, and we were going to eat dinner. Well, here's what I didn't know. The exact time when I was there, the Viet Cong were celebrating the 50-year fall of Saigon. And there were about 75 Viet Cong soldiers on this boat, dressed up in their uniforms, about the same age as my dad. I wanted to beat up every one of them. Have you ever had one of those? You're like, this cannot be happening. I can't jump off the boat. These people are smiling. They're so excited. And here I am. 50 years. 50 years. I'm 62. Not easy. You want to talk about gentleness? Nothing in me felt like gentleness. And we were sitting at the table, actually a few of the friends we were with are like, Jeremy, are you okay? And I'm thinking, no, not okay. And as the night went on, one of the pastors we were with, he said, let's just go talk to these guys. Okay. Hope I don't punch somebody, because that's how I'm feeling. Here's what I didn't know. I didn't know that God was setting me up and that he was going to move. I began to greet some of these soldiers. Show that first picture. And it was instantaneously. As I begin to see these soldiers, and I kid you not, I looked in the eyes of one of these men, and the Lord, literally as real as we are here today, said, Jim, look into his heart. He's as broken as your dad. He was just trying to do the job in which he was given. Instantaneously, it was so real I could feel it. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, God literally at that second healed me. I called Sharon, I tears in my eyes. I said, babe, you're not going to believe what just happened. God has healed me of a grudge that I didn't even know how to deal with. I didn't even really know I had. But when I was 12 and my dad came back and our family was ruined, I carried this for 50 years and God healed me. Well, then it got a little strange. I am not kidding. And Aaron Davis was there and I became like a celebrity to him. They were taking pictures, introducing me to their friends. And then this next picture showed that, yeah, you know what's in my hand right there? Whiskey. But it wasn't mine. They were so excited. He dumped whiskey down my throat and it went up my nose. Oh, God. And I'm with pastors. I'm thinking, this is not a great look. You know, I'm here having whiskey going up my nose, down my throat, and these guys are so excited. And isn't that picture, do I look like a guy? And this is the goodness of God. Do I look like a guy right there who had 50 years of resentment because of what happened to my family? I don't. But friends, this is why we need the fruit of the Spirit in us. This is why we need God when we don't know what to do. This is why we can pray and God can do anything and everything. He can do above all that we can ask or imagine because there are riches found in Christ Jesus. That was amazing. By the way, I held on to that thing. I didn't want it going up my nose anymore. That was some strong whiskey, and that's probably why they were pretty happy. Oh, Pastor Kevin's not going to like that. Well, I may not be asked to speak again, but I'm giving it all I got today. You know, friends, gentleness is not easy. And if it wasn't for the strength of God in that moment, I could have done anything. That's why the Bible is really clear. In Proverbs, it says this, a gentle answer deflects anger. A gentle answer deflects anger. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, this is a big one. It is our potential under God's control. Everywhere that I've, I think, ever flown, the flight attendant always says, you know, if we lose pressure, there's this mass that's going to drop down, and you put it on you before putting it on somebody else, and you know why. Because that's going to help you when the plane crashes to, you know, not throw up. No, you put it on you because you have to be able to breathe in order to help somebody else breathe. And I think one of the best ways you can change the people around you is let God get control of you. Let God move in you, and then it's amazing how different other people respond. I wrote these last just thoughts, and then I want to pray. Is there a song next? Are you doing one more song? Okay, would you come up at this time? Thank you. Gentleness didn't win the Stanley Cup. And gentleness probably isn't going to win any football games. But if you allow God's Spirit in your life to the point that gentleness becomes a reality in how you react, I promise you, it will reap great dividends on your relationships. And I even wrote this morning as I re-looked at my sermon. I wrote this, I'm a work in progress. Maybe you are as well. And so I would like to pray for you, maybe with you. And ask God that he would fill us with his Spirit to the point that these fruits become an active part of our lives. And I'm going to ask you a question. Is this one of the fruits where maybe God needs to work on you just a little bit more? I've already said I'm a work in progress with this. And God reminded me on the way to church today. But in all fairness, I didn't tap my brakes when the guy was trying to not let me in. You're like, Jim, you do need prayer. I know. And maybe you do too. Because you also drive in Bentonville. And I don't have a Hope Church sticker on my truck. Just saying, there's a reason. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you that when the wind blew and the earthquake came and the fire roared, you are the God who spoke in a whisper. Oh, not that you couldn't be those other things, but you knew at that moment Elijah needed to know it's going to be okay. And God, I pray for me first that you would continue to work in me. God, you would continue to fill me with the fruit of your Spirit. Thank you that this is the one that you allowed me to speak on because it's one where I'm absolutely a work in progress. And God, maybe today I can pray for one other person that you're working on. Maybe today, God, there's one person who says, God, I still need help in this. I give it to you, God, and I want to receive your gentleness that I might emulate your gentleness to others. If that's your prayer, would you look up at me and I acknowledge you? It's not awkward. Okay. Man, I love y'all. I really do. Thank you for being honest. Okay. Yeah, we all need this. Anybody else? You see, I need gentleness in my life. Okay, I love y'all. What an honor to be here with you today, that we can pray with one another for God's help. All right. Here we are, Lord. You said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us. God, we know we're not always right, and we want to be. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to permeate our lives, the deep places of our lives, the places like a 50-year grudge, the places like we never let go and we're chained to an event in the past. God, this is such a holy moment. I sense you. I sense you, oh God, moving in our midst. God, we ask for your help. God, we ask that we would be filled with hope that comes from knowing you. God, I pray for these friends and those at home. Lord, that we would receive another touch from the God who cares and the God who can make a difference in our lives. We humble ourselves before you, Lord, and pray that you would help us before we speak, to be touched by your Spirit, I pray. God, bless us, Lord, we pray. Keep us, Lord. May your face radiate about us, Lord, and give us, Lord, that peace that comes from knowing you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing this last song.